Hi, this is Pastor Jack of Real Radio, and the times that we're living in right now are truly amazing times, and this upcoming election will be perhaps one of the most important in our lifetime. And so because of that, I want to give you the information and the tools that you'll need to vote your biblical worldview. That's right, Christian. We should be voting our biblical worldview, not our party, not our persuasions are not in any other form but our biblical worldview as a believer. And so I want to share with you a fantastic interview that took place with Dr. Wayne Grudem, a world-renowned theologian and best-selling author of Politics According to the Bible, a great book, and also Dinesh D'Souza, creator of the blockbuster documentary 2016, Obama's America. We've had the chance to interview both these men of God, and I think you'll find it most enlightening. You can go to realradioactive.org, that's realradioactive.org, and click on Watch the Interview. That's realradioactive.org, and click on Watch the Interview. God bless you.
Today on Real Radio.
It's probably his most famous work. In fact, it is studied today still in many universities of law. It's the book of Romans. Paul wrote the book of Romans in Corinth. Now, you guys all sitting down? Because you're going to pass out here in a second when I tell you why that's important.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series through Paul's first letter to the Church of Corinth. 1 Corinthians. It really is quite telling about the first century church that really did have its share of problems. But of course, we all benefit from how Paul handled the situations in writing to the Corinthians. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now continuing his look at the first three verses of chapter 1. It's a lesson called What Jesus Christ Sees in His Church.
The Bible tells us also in Acts chapter 1, verse 6, therefore, when they, that is the apostles, had come together, they asked Jesus, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Are you going to wrap up this ministry of yours now and bring into the kingdom age? And Jesus said to them, 2,000 years ago, verse 7, Acts chapter 1, he said, it's not for you to know the times and the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But, verse 8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and to the what? To the ends of the earth. And so Paul, understanding, though he was not present at that moment, he came to Christ later on that road to Damascus, the Holy Spirit speaking to him that truth. Jesus, no doubt Paul would have heard this, Jesus in Matthew 28, 18, when he spoke to his disciples before he ascended back into heaven. He says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore. Isn't that great? Can somebody say like amen to that? Are you not, listen, Christian, he says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And you might say, well, that's cool. No, Jesus says, get excited. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. We can, you know, because all authority has been given to him. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, or behold, look, open your eyes. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Based upon whose authority? Jesus's. Paul pulls up to Corinth in about 50 AD, preaches the gospel, and a church is born. The writing of this letter takes place in about 54 AD. About 3 to 4 years have passed since the founding of that church. Listen to this. Corinth was Rome's most affluent, profitable, highest standard of living, richest city in all of the empire. You might say, that's where I'd want to live. Well, and apparently a lot of people did because the population of that ancient city during the time of Rome was over 500,000 people. That's a big deal for an ancient city, you guys. It was powerful, influential. Listen, it was a trend setter in the Roman culture. It was something that was highly desirable. They had a lot of leisure time. They were known for their leisure. But one of the things that stood out in this tremendous city was its pagan temples. We'll see some later, but religion and spirituality was huge. Why? Listen, you guys, anybody remember the Jesus movement days back in what started in Southern California was really what came out of, and many of us are children of that movement. It followed on the heels of what? Do you remember the 60s?
No, man, can't remember. Dude, it's all blank.
You don't want to remember the 60s. Young people were saying, materialism's not it. My parents have worked their tail off, and they own all this stuff. They've got cars. We've got TVs. We even have radios. We've got two or three pairs of shoes. We've got three or four pairs of pants. We are so rich, and we're not any happier. And the young people said, you know what? It's time to drop acid, leave this world, and find a metaphysical spiritual realm. Listen, Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun, and history repeats itself, my friend. And here's why I'm excited about the evil age in which we live in. And I know that sounds contradictory, and it is not. The reason why I am excited about the age in which you and I live in is because we are now on a sociological and religiously or spiritual scale. We are ripe in America for revival. You want to know why? Kids know today, these kids you saw on the screens, your junior highs, your high schoolers know that sex was all exciting at first, and now it's dangerous and it's scary. It's your children. It's the next generation. Did you know? That's announcing no more abortions. Did you know that? Many of you may be so liberal. You're saying, well, whatever, choose whatever. Not your kids. Statistically, go look it up. The data is overwhelming. The new generation coming up, God bless them. They're realizing, you know what? What my parents led me into doesn't work. The Beamers don't make people happy. The Mercedes didn't make my family stay together. The house on the hill didn't make me any happier. And on MTV worldwide poll a couple years ago, the world's youth said, the number one most important thing to me is, will I have a family? That, my friends, is the beginning of a revival. We just need to be Christians to stand up and to proclaim the gospel that Jesus Christ came for them, died on the cross for them, and rose again from the grave for them, that they can have their sins forgiven and be given new life. And you don't have to ram that down anybody's mouth or face. You know what happens? It's a movement of God. The sin, as it were, like it was in Egypt, the flesh began to come out of their nose. Remember? We want meat. We want meat. We're sick of this man of bread, Moses. We're sick of it. And God said, get out of the way, Moses. I'll send him meat. God sent them meat. They wanted meat. God gave them meat. And what happened? The Bible says they had meat so much that they began to choke on it and it began to come out of their nose. That's awesome. I'd love to have seen that happen. Our culture has had enough of free sex and drugs. They're sick of it. And they're looking for something meaningful. And if you're not there, and if we're not there, if we're not on the streets, if we don't have youth pastors. Were you not blessed by our youth pastors last week? That is an engineered process of the leadership of this church that your youth be the best taught youth on the planet. And you got a grip of that last week. Why? That's the future. If Christ doesn't come back, that's the church. And frankly, I'm pretty excited about it. When I look around at our youth, I say, thank you, God. It's an amazing time. And I'm so far from my notes, it's ridiculous now. You'll find this remarkable. I did. I totally forgot this. I remember learning this years and years ago in school, and I forgot it. Sad to say, I'm embarrassed to say it. Mark it down. Paul the Apostle wrote the book of 1 Corinthians. He wrote it to communicate to them, to remind them, of what he had preached to them years earlier. Here's the interesting thing. He was warning them. They had gotten carnal. They had gotten lazy about their Christianity. Here's what's shocking. From the city of Corinth itself, Paul wrote another very famous book of his. It's probably his most famous work. In fact, it is studied today still in many universities of law school. It's the book of Romans. Paul wrote the book of Romans in Corinth. Now, you guys all sitting down? Because you're going to pass out here in a second when I tell you why that's important. With all of its affluence and with all of its wealth, it got bored with things. The church got carnal and it began to flirt with other gods and other lifestyles and ways of living, getting away from the Word of God. And it adopted the carnal ways of the world. And Paul, listen, like G. Campbell Morgan said, Paul probably opened up his window one day in Corinth and looked out of the window onto the streets of Corinth as he writes to his friends in Rome. And this is what he wrote. Are you ready? This is deep stuff. You get to see what Paul saw in Corinth. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. This is Paul's view from Corinth, a city that was setting the tempo and lifestyle of the Roman Empire. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Imagine now, church, he's looking out the window watching the injustice and the unrighteousness of a wealthy, prosperous pagan culture. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them. What made him write that? Did he look at them and see their genius? And did he look at them and see their creativity and their arts and craftsness of their lives? That they were people who were literally given gifts from God, but they didn't know that. They didn't recognize that. They didn't recognize what was manifested in them. For God has shown it to them, verse 20. He says, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen. Why doesn't the Corinthians see this, O Romans? I'm here in Corinth and I'm looking at them and they're lost. They've got incredible robes. They've got incredible jewelry. They've got incredible wealth, but they're incredibly lost. They can't see what is godly, what is right. Being understood, they should know this by the things that God has made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Verse 21, because although they knew God, that is, they knew about the one true God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful. Hey, church, isn't a spoiled kid a real brat to have around? Because they're never thankful. You hand them a gift, they unwrap it, they look at it. Cool. You have something else? What else? You have more? That's a spoiled kid. They weren't thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Verse 22, professing to be wise, Corinth boasted that its intellect rivaled Athens. And he looks out the window and he says, man, they think they're so smart, but they've become fools. And they've changed the glory of the incorruptible God into the evolutionary theory. Look at it. Into an image made like corruptible man, like birds, like four-footed animals, like creeping things. That's evolution in reverse. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness. He's looking out of his window. In the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie. As he looks out his window, they worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator who was blessed forever. Amen. And for this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. He cut them loose. He's let them go. For even their women, he's writing to Rome and he's talking to them about the Corinthian women. Exchange the natural use for what is against nature. In other words, women didn't want to be with men in Corinth. They'd already done enough of that. It was boring. They went that which was against nature. And likewise also the men. Leaving the natural use of the woman burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of the error which is due. Internal corruption, diseases, sicknesses, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate or debased mind to do those things that are not fitting. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud. This is where Paul lived in Corinth. Boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God that those who practice such things deserve death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Ladies and gentlemen, it's awful quiet in here right now. This is Paul's eyewitness account of Corinth. You think it's nasty in our world today? The closest thing I can get to, I thought about this. In fact, they even wrote some things down. I thought about Hollywood and Vine. I thought about Sunset and Highland. Have you been there? I know, as Southern Californians, we don't go near those places. We've seen them once. Once is all you need to see them. It's disgusting. Isn't it sad when your friends come from some other country or from some other part of America, and what do they say to you? Take me to Hollywood. I want to see Hollywood. And you're going, oh, they. Decadent. Out of control. Godless. That was Corinth. And you say, Jack, why would somebody start a church there? Because it was godless. 2,000 years after the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the world is still lost. It's godless. Church, Christian, don't run from godlessness. Run toward it. Armed with the armaments of Christ that he has provided for you and I. Paul went to Rome. He knew what Rome was all about. And he went to Corinth, Athens, Troas. Where'd he go? Wherever he went, he knew what he was walking into. This is Christianity, front and center, head on. Christians should wear helmets. What do you have that on for? I'm a Christian. The Corinthian lifestyle. Look at the screen. Look at a few. Just anybody recognize that? Again, many of us on our tour of the apostles, we stood there. We looked like little peas in a pod. That is the famous, listen, don't confuse the two. In Rome, there's the Pantheon, and this is the Parthenon. In Greece, the seat. Look at that today. That's a very recent picture. Monument. You see how it looks, kind of looks like the Supreme Court in the United States? Sure does. Small version of it in Washington, D.C. Incredible. Beautiful. Powerful. Gods were worshipped there. All kinds of bizarre things. Paganism, Babylonianism, Artemis, Diana. As I said earlier, Poseidon, Titan, you name the gods of the Greek world and of the ancient Babylonian world, they were all there. And the gospel goes to those crazy philosophies. The gospel today of Oprah Winfrey. You mention Oprah Winfrey and people get upset now if you criticize her. Did you know that? She is, as it were, a founder of a church. And by the way, it's just beginning. I warn you now publicly. It's coming. It's already planned. We've seen things unveiled of it in Washington, D.C., covertly revealed, announced to us. It's coming. How will the church compete against that? The church doesn't have to compete against that. The church just needs to wake up and be the church. Let your youth go. Let them go. I don't mean to go to Oprah. I mean, turn them loose. Let your youth take over the community. Teach your high schoolers how to take on the university they're heading towards. God help them. 88% of the kids who leave high school as a Christian and enter into the university at the end of 4 years profess no faith in God. 88%. Why? The church has failed. The church is Corinthian. Our kids ought to be leaving our youth groups incredibly empowered. The world should tremble when our youth hit the streets. Instead, we are so decadent, we've got communities trembling, Tucson, Arizona, trembling, Phoenix, trembling, Miami, trembling. For what? Righteousness? Because somebody might say, hey, we don't allow cussing on our streets. Oh no, because as you know, in Phoenix now, it's the number one city in America for kidnapping, and it's number two in the world for kidnapping. Phoenix, Arizona. Why? Because of godlessness. The righteous need to stand up. Well, someone's going to think I'm a weirdo. Listen, they already think you're a weirdo. So I'd rather be a weirdo for Jesus than a weirdo for what I am. It's a serious time, you guys. We need to give them the gospel. And the world is programmed, think about it, to receive the gospel. I'll leave you with this. In 1 Corinthians verse 2, look what it says there. He says that he's an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. A church that was so messed up. Take the time to read these opening lines, because I sure didn't take the time this morning to do it for you. He blesses them. You guys, we're going to find out that they're sleeping around. They're allowing stuff because of the pagan influence. And he says, you guys, first of all, I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. And he's going to be talking about them who are the church at Corinth. Are you kidding me? He's going to tell them, come back next week, Romans 8:15. He says, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Corinthians were a bunch of Gentile, pagan worshiping, mess, goofball loonies who came to the gospel, got all excited about it, and stayed in church. But as time went on, they became more and more like the world. You couldn't tell them apart from the other people. And if I were Paul, I probably would have said, Paul, an apostle, the Lord Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to you, scumball, idiot, good for nothing, bums in Corinth. He didn't do that to them. He sits them down and says, in a nutshell, God loves you guys. He's crazy about you. So much so, he adopted you into his own family. That's awesome.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study called What Jesus Christ Sees in His Church. It's the first in a series of lessons taken from Paul's book of 1 Corinthians. What Jesus Christ Sees in His Church. That's the title Pastor Jack has given to this look at chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, as you know, we're getting closer and closer to this upcoming election. And of course, the overall question is, how do I vote and why? Well, one issue to watch very, very closely, and we recently dealt with it right here on Real Radio, is the candidates' views on Israel. Just how important is the Jewish state? How important is the peace of Israel? What future role does Israel play in Bible prophecy? And, as far as our own political leaders, why are these issues important to us here in America? Well, this is precisely why we at Real Radio are offering Pastor Jack's DVD called Politics and Faith, Why Israel Matters. Now, this is, of course, a time-sensitive matter as the election gets closer and closer every day. And that's why we at Real Radio are offering it to you for your gift of any amount in support of this broadcast outreach, Real Radio. Now, whether you call, click, or write, be sure to mention it by name, Politics and Faith, Why Israel Matters. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. And it's real simple. You'll know right where to point and click, realradioactive.org. Our telephone number is 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd like to write to us, send your tax-deductible gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact info can be found right there at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J. And Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.